Welcome back to the Gridiron
Powered by
Pulse. We
Riverside
are
Entertainment.
here following, of course, the NFL draft. It happened. We're all going to have our thoughts and our opinions. But before we get into that, guys, how are we doing today?
Doing fantastic, brother. How about yourself?
Fantastic. Cannot complain.
Yeah, I already see a big smile on Jacob's face. He is licking his chops to get into a certain thing. So, Jacob, I'll just hand the floor over to you because you had one of the more can't say controversial because it just happened, but you had one of the more hot takes on the show that aged pretty well. So I'll go ahead and let you have the floor here.
Yeah, some would call it a hot take or a bold take. I just call it speaking from the heart. You know, I watch a lot of football and I just like to present the knowledge that I see on the TV. I had the unfortunate pleasure of watching several Colorado Buffalo games last year. And I went on here and I said that Shedeur Sanders was not worth a first round pick. I would have been correct in that statement. I also would have been correct saying that he wasn't worth a second round pick or a third or a fourth round pick. He was drafted in the fifth round by the Cleveland Browns as their second quarterback taken after taking Dillon Gabriel, someone who actually accomplished something in college. In the third round, some would call that a crazy pick. I would agree with them because he's kind of like, I don't know, short, lefty, and has a noodle arm. But yeah, Shedeur Sanders is kind of a victory lap here. Fifth round pick by the Browns. Cole thought he was going 21 to the Steelers. It didn't turn out like that. Kind of called the Will Howard pick, though. That was nice. That's really all I have to say on Shedeur. I mean, we had Jeff Ulbrich's son prank called him. Now the Falcons are receiving heavy backlash after what we would call a pretty solid draft. But that's why we can't have nice things here around the city of Atlanta. But that might be a topic for later on. Just kind of wanted to touch on that since it kind of fell with the Shadoo-Doo allegations. But buddy sucks. He might not make the 53.
Yeah. I guess we could just go ahead and touch on it because, I mean, this is a Steelers perspective because every report known to man was saying, hey, Shedeur to the Steelers at 21. We even had a graphic of, like, Shedeur is minus 150 to go to the Steelers, and I thought it was there. I just think at the end of the day, so first of all, I'm just going to touch on one thing. I'm just not going to entertain anybody's football knowledge or just mental acumen at all that is claiming that this is some conspiracy for Shedeur to fall. Like, I'm just not going to do it. That's ridiculous. That's first of all. I just think there is, when it comes to Shedeur, I think there's a fundamental disconnect between what he is as a player and what he thinks he is as a player. Okay? Because if you look at Shedeur as a prospect, he's like a Teddy Bridgewater mold, or he's a, you know, Andy Dalton, Kirk Cousins at the very best mold, okay? But if you watch his film at Colorado, he's trying to make stuff happen outside the pocket. He takes way too many sacks, which I understand his offensive line was not great, but he still takes so many sacks.
And he would let the people know that his offensive line sucks.
Yes. Yes, exactly. And he lets people know that too. He almost tries to be he doesn't have the out of structure and creativity that a Cam Ward does at when the play breaks down. He needs to be a on-time rhythm thrower, which he showed he could be that at times at Colorado. And so if we take that aspect, and then we also combine it with the fact that the reports of his interviews weren't very good and he just had like an inflated sense of what his self is, and again, we don't know if that's true. These were just reports and rumors, but let's say for the sake of this argument that that is true, then you have a guy who's essentially projects as potentially maybe one day being a decent starter, but just potentially isn't coachable, thinks that he can do more than what he actually is able to do. And then at the end of the day, you can see how maybe he falls. And it's not like this is some crazy thing that's never happened before. I mean, I think one of the more recent slides that I was very shocked by was even a guy like Sam Howell. I mean, do we forget that Sam Howell at one point was like a projected number one overall pick after his freshman year at North Carolina. And of course he slid a little bit. And, by the time he entered the draft, he was seen as a guy that was, probably like a second round guy, like maybe by a miraculous some team trades and gets him in the first. He fell all the way to the fifth round, and he was pretty similar to a prospect as Shador was. So that's kind of my take on it is, yeah, I'm not entertaining any conspiracy theory. And I have seen some of the craziest thoughts by people that are basically, I've seen people start to say that the fact that he's Dion's son was like some reverse negative nepotism. When does it ever impact you negatively to be the son of a Hall of Fame football player in any aspect? When is that ever going to affect you negatively? It literally makes no sense. But yeah, that's just my thoughts on it at the end of the day.
Yeah, just this kind of remind me of forget what draft was, but Malik Willis was projected all the way up to the draft to be a first round pick, and then slid down all the way to the third round. And then, I mean, I guess we all kind of knew what he was. And then, we were all proven right. He's a career backup now with the Packers, but he did good this year. But that's kind of like what this situation reminded me of.
Yeah, once he slid past all the picks on day two, I was like, there's no telling when this guy's gonna go. I mean, all the memes and funny stuff on social media of like what he did in the interviews, like taking calls, having headphones, playing music. I mean, at this point, we don't really know what's true and what's not true, but we know it must have been pretty bad. Like, I saw one that he was taking FaceTime calls from his friends, sitting in front of owners and GMs. Like, dude, what are we doing here? That's to the point where the championship pedigree that he comes from Dion, you would think there would be some kind of like a teaching moment or something like that there. But then again, that very well could have been how Dion acted in real life. So it might be just cut from the same cloth, but you'd think
But
there would be
here's
at
the
least
main
some.
difference. Here's the main difference, though. You got to be who you can afford to be. Dion was able to do that because he was literally one of the greatest athletes anyone has ever laid eyes on.
He was actually good at
Yes.
something.
Baseball
And
and
okay,
football.
I'm gonna come in here and say, so after all this, okay, yes, we talked bad about Shador. And of course, I hate the Browns. I mean, at that point, though, if he's in the fifth round and you're the Browns, I don't mind you just taking a shot at that point. Like, I mean, that's like a good value there for the fifth round. Because, yes, even the biggest Shador hater, aka Jacob Walters, never could say that he thought he was going all the way to the fifth round. So
No.
getting him there, again, the Dylan Gabriel pick is puzzling to me. I mean, there's literally a clip of Dylan Gabriel basically saying that he hates playing in cold weather. Well, get ready to learn cold weather, buddy. So yeah. But all that being said, yeah, if you guys don't have any more thoughts, opinions on this, we can go ahead and just move into the draft as a whole because we don't want to be ESPN and cover Shador whenever there's a guy who went number one overall. So like we should give him some praise too, don't you guys think?
Like the poor eight people who went after him. It's like we're still talking about Shador. It's like, okay, well, there's 10 new football players on new teams now. You gonna go back and cover those? Like, no.
At
I
Mel
also
Kiper.
I agree with what Reese Davis said to Mel Kiper. He kind of cooked Mel Kiper live on air, basically calling him an idiot, which I agree. Mel Kiper should not be employed anymore. The shtick has gone on for too long. Madden, no. It's time to go.
Dude has had terrible mock drafts for what, like 40 years and still employed on ESPN. That's why alpha males watch NFL Network. They're in the draft.
If Jim Clausen is not a smash hit in the NFL, fire me, ESPN. That should have happened 15 years ago.
It's got to be one of the worst takes of all time.
Yeah. All right, we can move on now. I'm done.
All right. Well, yeah, as we said, what we're going to do, we're just going to go first round, just touch on each team, touch on mostly their first round picks, but also kind of hit on their draft as a whole here and there. So yeah, we could just go ahead and first start off with the Tennessee Titans. They did what we all expected they were going to do, what I said they should do. They picked Cam Ward first overall. And again, coming into this, I don't see Cam Ward as this elite, like generational level prospect. I don't ever seeing him being a Lamar Jackson, Pat Mahomes, Josh Allen type of guy. But at the end of the day, I think that he could be anywhere in like that top 12 to 13 QB range, and then on whenever he's playing at his best, creep into that top 10 at times. And I am not someone that sits here and says if the number one overall pick at a quarterback doesn't turn out to be a top five pick, then he's a bust. Okay, because there are genuinely people that believe that. I think at the end of the day, if he just makes the Titans fun to watch and is keeping them in contention for division titles, playoffs, and then maybe one day makes a run, then he all but, pretty much secured himself as worthy of that number one pick, which I think that he will one day. So that's my overall take on him. And then there was one other pick that I really liked from. They took the Gunnar Helm guy in the fourth round. That was a tight end that I really liked in this draft, of course, in like this range. So, and they picked Alek Ayomanner, the Stanford receiver, which famously cooked Travis Hunter. So they're going to be going at it. So overall, great draft. And I'm not going to pretend to know about every one of their picks, but they picked my favorite guy, quarterback in the draft, Cam Ward. And yeah, that was the Titans for you. Hello?
Carter, you got anything to add there?
Yeah, I mean, I agree with this pick. I mean, it was probably the most obvious pick leading up into the draft. I did see that the Titans, they got Xavier Restrepo from undrafted free agency, so that should be a interesting pickup if he makes the 53-man, which, in my opinion, I think he probably will. I think personally, I think Cam Ward is going to have a Caleb Williams type year from last year, where he's trying to do all he can, but since the Titans are still like in rebuild mode, and I think he'll struggle a little bit just because, I mean, obviously the Titans don't really have too much talent on offense. Besides, I mean, I guess you could say Calvin Ridley, but I think he's getting into his older years. But again, I like this pick for Tennessee. Get your franchise quarterback. So hopefully he makes Titans games fun to watch, because I don't know about you guys, but the Titans to me are probably one of the more forgettable franchises in the NFL. But I don't know. We'll see. But good pick by Tennessee.
Yeah, I feel like that was everyone's consensus number one overall, and he went number one. It's probably going to be pretty good. I don't have too much to add there. He's going to wear number one. Got it from Warren Moon. His end of the deal was like, so it was worn when he was a Houston Oiler. It hasn't been worn by a Tennessee Titan before. And then in his introductory press conference, Warren Moon walked in there with the jersey and gave it to him. Thought that was pretty cool. Next, we can just move on to number two with Travis Hunter. The only difference that we had was we had him going number two to Cleveland, but the Jacksonville Jaguars and their 22-year-old general manager traded up, made a big splash early on. I find it interesting that ESPN has him listed as a corner. I definitely think he's going to at least mainline receiver, might play a little spot corner, might be in nickel or dime packages. I just don't think he projects as well as a corner. He's not bad by any means. I mean, he was surefire blue chip prospect, number two overall pick. It's pretty straightforward right there.
Yeah, for this one, I think it was a good trade for both Cleveland and Jacksonville. Personally, me, I was surprised when Cleveland traded out from this pick, because I mean, we all thought for sure Travis Hunter was going to be a Cleveland Brown, but Trevor Lawrence gets another weapon on offense, and I mean, you're essentially getting two players for one pick here. Now, if it remains to be seen if Jacksonville is going to play him some at corner, I personally think they will, but we'll see. But Trevor Lawrence has no excuses to be pretty mediocre this year with Brian Thomas Jr., Travis Hunter. So I think good trade for both Cleveland and Jacksonville. Jacksonville gets their guy. Trevor Lawrence gets another stud on offense. So, good pick for the Jags and good trade by Cleveland getting a haul in draft capital.
No, yeah, that was my first thought about this whole thing is I thought, wow, good for Cleveland, like good move Cleveland. That is not something we say very often, but I mean they got a haul once again to trade back three spots and pick their guy that was again gonna be available anyway. There was no point in taking Mason Graham second overall. So good for Cleveland. And so with Travis Hunter, obviously we know he's very great. But do we feel that there's a fear? Okay, let me give you a scenario here real quick. Let's say Travis Hunter does not end up playing both sides of the ball, and he just ends up becoming a good receiver or a good corner. Is he disappointing, like as a player? Like, and what
No.
people? No, we don't think so. Yeah, I'm just curious because I'm just wondering, like, if he only ends up being a like pretty good one of these positions, is that disappointing at all?
Don't think so. I mean,
No, I'd say no too.
all right,
It's
yeah.
going to be hard to project where he's going to play regardless. If I mean he's banging a wall saying that he's going to play both. He's going to play 150 snaps a game. If that's the case, he's probably going to last his rookie contract. And then, like, I don't know. It's going to be, I'm definitely super interested to see how they're going to use him. I think it's going to be package wise on defense. And then he's probably going to be their Z receiver along with Brian Thomas Jr. It's going to be kind of a nasty combo right there.
Yeah, I agree too. I think Travis Hunter's strength is more on the offensive side because I mean I thought he was better as a receiver than corner in college. So I think if I were the Jags GM, I or Jags def or just coaches, I would play him more at receiver than corner because I mean obviously you want that longevity with him, but. Yeah, it should be interesting to see how much they play him on both sides, but if I were the Jags, I would play him more at receiver corner.
Now move on here to Abdul Carter. He is 6'3", 250 edge rusher from Penn State. Another blue chip prospect. Gonna be probably really, really good. Heard that the Giants could potentially have been shopping Kayvon Thibodeaux to move back up for that Jackson Dart trade, but ended up not having to do so. They were just able to move up with picks and future picks. I think this is a great pick. He's gonna be awesome. They say pro comp here, Micah Parsons. Don't agree with that. Micah Parsons does too much, plays different positions, plays all around the field. I think Abdul Carter is going to be more of that strictly edge rusher, coming off the edge with the juice. I think they're going to be really good.
Good pick here by Giants. I think this is probably like my only correct pick that I picked in the mock draft. So, I mean, it was pretty obvious pick, but Abdul Carter's gonna be a game wrecker for the Giants lining up beside Brian Burns. So should be interesting to see how good that Giants D line is after this draft.
Yeah, no one's sitting here questioning the Abdul Carter pick. I mean, great pick by them. The one pick that people are seemingly up in arms about more than I thought. Like, I did not think that this was like anything controversial, but they traded up out of the first, second round to pick Jackson Dart. And I did not realize Jackson Dart seemingly has more haters than I thought. I thought it was consensus, like, okay, he's a first round guy, but people are up in arms about it, and Giants fans in particular. They were not happy about this. A lot of people are just saying this is Daniel Jones 2.0. I will say the one thing about Jackson Dart is that he better learn how to slide or get out of bounds, or else he will not last very long in the NFL. But other than that, and then picking Cam Scataboo in the fourth round, I mean, I'm such a fan of that pick. Again, no one's saying that Scataboo is going to be an all pro or even a pro bowler, but as just a second running back on the roster, I think he provides a lot. And then even a guy like the guy they picked in the third round, Darius Alexander, the D tackle from Toledo. I mean, he is a highly rated guy and has pass rushing juice as a 6'4", 305 D tackle. So I just think that they had a very a very good like first four picks. I'm a fan of all four of those. And I like the value of Dart at 25 because the Saints, we were talking about them potentially picking him at 9. I didn't really see him as a top 10 guy, but I mean, back into the first round, learn behind Russ for a year, see what he can do. So, good draft by the Giants.
Yeah, that was one thing I was gonna add here. It definitely seems like he's not gonna start year one. Now, injuries and stuff like that can change that, but entering a quarterback room with both Russell Wilson and Jameis Winston and Tommy freaking Cutlets, I don't think he's gonna start week one. Maybe later on in the year, if the Giants aren't having such a good year, can start maybe trying to tank for a couple more draft picks, draft positioning, stuff like that. Could see him starting like the last three or four games of the year, kind of like what the Falcons did with Penix last year.
Yeah, I agree with the same. To be honest with you, I really don't know why Giants fans are angry at this pick. I mean, you're getting your franchise guy at good value at 25. I mean, when we did our mock draft, I had him going number 9, so I thought he for sure he'd be taken before then. But I like the aggressiveness from the Giants. If you believe in your franchise guy, you go get him. I hated the Penix pick last year because, I mean, with Kirk Cousins, but I mean, the Falcons were very aggressive. And I mean, to be honest with you, I'm glad that they got their franchise guy last year's draft than this one. But, Cam Scataboo to me is probably one of my sneakier picks for this draft. Lining up with Tyrone Tracy, who I thought had a really good rookie year last year, should be a good 1-2 punch for the Giants. So, I think the Giants had a really good draft this year.
All right, go ahead and move on. Pick number 4 here, Will Campbell. I like this pick because he talks funny. That's really about it. I mean, he played tackle at LSU for the past couple years. Highly touted prospect, best offensive lineman in the class. I think he's going to be protecting Drake May's blind side for the next 10 to 12 years, most likely.
And he, as we saw in that post game or the post draft interview, he's got a war hog mentality. Like he's ready to get up in those trenches. But overall, similar to the Giants, I'd say even more so than the Giants, I think that the Patriots hit a home run with really their first four picks. Will Campbell, obviously, great pick, just good value. Travion Henderson in the second round. I really like him as a running back, and of course he's not going to be a lead back in the NFL, but he has just a different level of speed and just open field ability. I mean, we saw him in the playoff do his thing, and I really like that pick for them overall. And then even Kyle Williams, the receiver from Washington State. If you watch Cam Ward Washington State highlights, you're going to see this dude Kyle Williams constantly catching the ball, deep threat. He ran a 4.4 at the combine. I think he is a really good receiver there in the third round. And then, of course, our guy Jared Wilson in the third round. Amazing value there, getting another Georgia center, which Patriots are pretty happy about Georgia centers, I would say. So, overall, really good by the Patriots there.
Yeah, I immediately became a fan of Will Campbell after that post-draft interview saying that he's gonna die to protect Drake Mace. That really fired me up while I was watching on the couch, so I'm definitely gonna be rooting for Will Campbell to have a good career with the Patriots.
Right, yeah, I like that Jared Wilson pick in the third round too as well. I think he's going to fit in nice. Like you said, Cole, Patriots have a great history of drafting Georgia centers. Oh boy, David Andrews had a 12-year career.
Sneaky good pick too. I like that pick.
Yeah. Mason Graham here. The Browns trade back and still were able to get their guy. Number one defensive tackle in the draft. Got some pass rushing juice. I like this comp here. Christian Wilkins. It's going to be a dominant three technique for a pretty long time. I think this is a great pick. Yeah, that's really all I got here.
Number one D tackle in the draft. Me personally, like I was kind of, I want to say I was surprised, but I thought Cleveland. I mean, obviously, I thought Cleveland was going to stay and pick Travis Hunter, but to add some more weapons to that offense, but they clearly did that in the last few rounds. But No, I like this pick for Cleveland. It's definitely going to help out Myles Garrett on that D line. So that's pretty much all I have to pick by Cleveland.
Picking Judkins and Dylan Sampson was very perplexing to me, though. That was the only thing, which I probably preferred Dylan Sampson over Quinshon Judkins, to be honest. I wouldn't say I'm the biggest Quinshon fan. I just think he has a very just limited skill set in terms of like projectability to the NFL. That's why I like Travion Henderson more than him, obviously, because I think that they're both very specialty backs, but I think Travion just has the upside of just having the home run speed. So that was my only thing. And then, of course, we touched on the quarterback situation. So.
It's going to be an interesting one for sure. All right, Jenty at six. I like this pick. I mean, he's the best running back in the draft. Short, stocky, kind of a bowling ball, but also has that top end speed. Pro comp Alvin Kamara. I don't think he catches as many passes or has the ability to be that safety valve out of the backfield as much as Alvin Kamara. Because that's pretty much his specialty is he's a pass catching back. Really like this pick though. Franchise running back. Going to be there with Geno Smith, Brock Bowers, kind of add an extra level of juice to the offense. Biggest thing about Ginty for me is the contact balance, the way he's able to just run through tacklers. You can argue that he played in the Mountain West at Boise State and he was running through tacklers like me, but that's an argument for a different day. I think he's going to be really good in the NFL. Hopefully has a long, illustrious career.
Again, I like this pick for the Raiders. You know, over the past few years, they've had very weird first round picks. So I like that they actually picked one of the best, in my opinion, one of the best players in the draft. Genty's gonna be an absolute stud for them. As they need a running back so bad. To be honest with you, I really couldn't name one from that they had last year. Jinty and Bowers, that's going to be a disgusting duo on offense. So I can't believe I'm saying this, but I'm actually really excited to watch the Raiders games this year. Good pick by the Raiders. They didn't make a really weird choice in the first round. Good pick for the Raiders.
Yeah, no, nothing more really to add on Ginty. They picked the TC receiver Jack Besh in the second round. Really big fan of his. I think that was good value there. And then JJ Pegues from Ole Miss falling all the way to the sixth round for them to snag him up there. That's again one of those picks, like I said, with Cleveland and Shador, where it's like, I mean, at this point, he's available in the sixth round. Like, might as well take a shot on him. I mean, his game is run stopping, run stuffer. He's not going to give you much in terms of the pass rushing juice, of course. I mean, no D tackle really is going to, unless your name's Jalen Carter. But overall, I do like it. And what about this? So they draft North Dakota State and a Montana State quarterback. Was I right about, or did they pick one of them up as a free agent or something?
No, they drafted a
They
back-to-back
drafted.
picks.
Yeah. In
Very
the
interesting.
sixth
That's
in the
the only
sixth round,
thing.
I think. Although it was weird, the first one, I think it was the guy from North Dakota State. They had him listed as a wide receiver and a quarterback. So maybe they're.
It's the dude from Montana State, Tommy Mellott, I think that's how you
Oh,
say his
yeah,
name.
Tommy Mellott, Mellott, whatever it is.
Melo. Melo,
Melo.
Melo.
All right. Armon Membu. Really fast, athletic freak, tackle from Missouri. Went to the Jets. We actually got that one right in our mock draft. Good job, boys. Don't have too much to say about the offensive line. Just doesn't interest me that much. Boring pick.
Anytime you add an offensive tackle to your team, obviously in the first or in the top 10 picks, I think Mimbu's gonna be a stud. I mean, they signed Justin Fields to a big contract this offseason, so the Jets could do what the Bears didn't do and give Justin Fields a O-line to work with. So boring pick, but it's the right pick is what people would say.
No, yeah, for sure. Yeah, I'm not gonna act like I know much about Armon Mimru and his tackle prowess or anything, but I'm never gonna be mad with boring picks because the teams that make the boring picks seemingly are always at least pretty good. I do think picking Mason Taylor up in the second round, that's gonna be good for Justin Fields. He is just such a reliable pass catcher. I mean, it's seemingly he's been at LSU for a while and he was always there for Jaden Daniels and Garrett Nussmeier, so I like that pick there. Arian Smith, man, this is either going to be a guy where we look back and he's not in the NFL, he's cut after 2 years, or he just turns out to be just deep ball threat, amazing player.
DeSean Jackson.
Yeah, exactly. I was not expecting him to go in the fourth round. I really thought he was going to be available later, but the Jets are going to take a shot on him, and it's a big boom or bust, which is Arian's play style. So we're going to see how that one works out.
Yeah, I definitely like the Arian Smith pickup. I mean, anytime you can get someone with that amount of juice, I definitely thought he would go a little bit later for sure, but good for him, man. All right. Panthers going with Teterow McMillan, not Jalen Walker, like we thought. I think this is kind of a flashy pick here. Wanted to get Bryce Young some big time help on the outside. And if that's the case, then they picked the right guy. This might not be the fastest receiver, but he's definitely going to be the biggest. I mean, he's a great jump ball, 50-50 ball receiver. I think this was a good pick by Carolina. I think they had a relatively solid draft as well. They got Trevor Etienne in the fourth round from Georgia. I like that pick. We don't really know what's going to happen with Jonathan Brooks, who they took in the second last year. He was actually the first running back off the board, and he still has yet to play a snap. I know that, unfortunately, because I drafted him in fantasy football last year.
I want to say a quick shout out to the Carolina Panthers for changing the Falcons draft here with not drafting Jalen Walker. I liked McMillan coming into this draft. I necessarily didn't really think he would go top 10. So I mean, this is just my opinion. I think this is a little bit of a reach by Carolina, but I mean, it doesn't hurt giving Bryce Young some more help. So.
No, yeah, I agree. I would definitely say that defense was definitely the play here, at least if I was the GM, but I'm never going to complain about giving your young quarterback more help. And McMillan, jump ball guy, I think he's going to just be a good bailout option for Bryce Young. And then also picking Princely Umiamialan, however you say his name, I definitely butchered that, my bad. Good value in the third round, definitely a guy with some edge, some juice on the edge, and then Trevor Etienne in the fourth round. So obviously we're a fan of that pick, so we're gonna see how it plays out for them. And getting Nick Skorton in the second round. So while they didn't get it in the first round, I think they at least made up for it by getting some solid players in the second and third round on the defensive side.
Definitely agree with you on that one. Kind of hate to see a division rival have a good draft, but let's go to a division rival that did not have a good draft. The New Orleans Saints select Jalen Walker's son, being the first father and son combo to ever be drafted in the same draft. I think this is, I mean, this was their best pick, I think. It was pretty much all downhill from here. But the Falcons were just able to get his kryptonite, apparently, which is awesome because we hate the Saints. Started 42 games at left tackle over 3 seasons. Big, tall, athletic tackle. Only weakness, Jalen Walker.
Sorry, I have to laugh. This bad pick here. I would have gone defense here if I was the Saints. But I don't mind them drafting an offensive tackle for their 40-year-old quarterback that they picked in the second round, Tyler Shuck.
Another shot, QB of the future, New Orleans.
Oh my, sorry, I had to laugh a little bit, but I'm really happy for Jalen Walker because he gets to abuse this man in division games this year, so should be a fun time seeing this dude get mowed over by Jalen Walker again and again and again and again. Well, that's all I have to say.
I mean, Tyler Shuck single-handedly started the crazy Shador discourse. Because at the very beginning, it was kind of like, oh man, that's kind of weird. Shador didn't get picked. But then Tyler Shuck is so bad that he started making people think that there was some conspiracy going on. I mean, that's how crazy of a pick this is. That's all I got once again. I do think they at least had, one pretty solid pick, I would say. I think Kelvin Banks is a good pick there. And then Danny Stutzman in the fourth round, definitely think was a steal. And then the Kansas running back, Devin Neal, I like him too. So they at least did some good things from a non-biased Steelers, not Saints hater perspective.
All right, pick number 10 here. Bears taking Colston Loveland. Kind of an interesting pick here. I think the consensus between us three was that Tyler Warren was the surefire first tight end off the board. Colston Loveland kind of provides a different archetype, I guess, than what Tyler Warren is. Tyler Warren, I mean, can do a little bit of everything kind of guy. Colston Loveland is more of your classic pass catcher, big body tight end. I think he's probably going to thrive with Caleb Williams, but can't forget they have second round fantasy demon Cole Kmet on their team as well.
I think this is probably the, I guess you could say, first shocker of the draft, because I mean, like what you said, Jacob, the pretty consensus was that Tyler Warren was going to be isn't was the number one tight end in this draft. So I thought for sure Tyler Warren was going to go here when the Bears were on the clock, but I mean, I can't really fault the Bears because I don't know, this feels like a Ben Johnson pick to me. I feel like he could get the most out of Colston Loveland, and maybe he could have with Tyler Warren. And honestly, if that's the case, I can't really fault the Bears for taking Loveland here. If this is strictly a Ben Johnson type pick, so definitely a interesting pick here. But again, if he thrives in the new Ben Johnson offensive system, so I would say this would be a good pick. But time will tell.
Yeah, this is where I go armchair GM and say I don't necessarily agree with picking Colston Loveland here, but then again, not having a good alternative into what I would have done. So yeah, that's my take on that. I let Luther Burden in the second round's great value though.
That
That
was a great pick.
that's a good pick right there.
Steal.
Yep. Should have been a first rounder. All right. Let's go ahead to our boy, Mykal Williams. It's kind of sad to see him come off the board, but I thought this was a steal. I mean, we thought he was going to go a little bit earlier. I definitely knew that the 49ers were going to take some kind of edge, whether it be Mykal Williams or Jaylen Walker or an interior defensive line help, someone like Walter Nolan, which is who we had mocked there. Pro comp, fellow Georgia Bulldog, Trayvon Walker. I agree with that. Big, tall, athletic, super raw pass rusher. Incredible strength. I mean, he was a five-star coming out of high school. Essentially lived up to that, becoming a top 11 pick. I think this was a good one.
Good pick for San Fran. I thought our Mykal Williams was going to be the second Georgia player to come off the board, but our boys right here did it, so we'll talk about that here in a little bit. But good pick for San Fran. They lost a lot of defensive guys in this offseason, so pairing them up with Nick Bosa should be real interesting to watch. Good pick by San Fran.
No, yes, and I'm definitely excited to see him get just more pin your ears back, rush the passer opportunities. Because once again at Georgia, we're constantly changing fronts, we're constantly filling run gaps, and there are limited opportunities for guys to do that. But if opposite of Nick Bosa, and if he can just go after the QB, see ball, get ball, he's obviously a great run defender. But if he can then develop more into that pass rush mold that we know he can, I mean, he has the body and the skill set to do it, then he can end up being an all pro.
Agree with you on that one. Great run defender there. All right, Tyler Booker from the Cowboys. I mean, I don't know too much about him. Just talking to one of my buddies who went to Bama or still goes to Bama. He loves him. Thinks he's going to be an awesome player. I liked his interview that he had. He was on like Micah Parsons' podcast or something like that, which is kind of fitting considering he went to Dallas. He said what, how he plays football is he likes to make the man across from him lose the love for the game. That's a pretty badass line. I kind of like that.
Yeah, in our mock draft, I had Tyler Booker going a little bit lower. But still good pick by Dallas. They're starting to lose a lot of their old offensive linemen. So I mean, again, boring pick. I mean, offensive lineman, but I don't hate the pick at all here.
No, yeah, for sure. And people clown on Dallas for picking Zach Martin over Johnny Manziel. So, I mean, we don't want to get up here and say, oh, what the heck are the Cowboys on boring? Because, once again, boring pick usually turns out to be good more often than not. So.
We can slander the Cowboys in this season, so it's not, I don't think it's necessary here.
Right, Kenneth Grant going here to the Miami Dolphins at pick 13. Not gonna say I was shocked by the pick. He's a great run defender. He's huge. Got kind of that nose tackle build, 6'4", 331. He's gonna be a great run defender. He's got some juice in the pass rush, but that's really kind of all I got there.
Good pick by Miami. This is essentially their makeup loss for Christian Wilkins on that defensive line. I don't really have too much to say about this pick, but I think it was a good pick by Miami to help boost up that D line.
Yeah, I don't have much to say about their first round pick. I'm more interested in their seventh round pick. And is it crazy to say that other than Cam Ward, Quinn Ewers might have the clearest path to potentially playing as a rookie? Because it's one Tua hit away. Now, again, it's between him and whoever he battles for the backup spot in camp. It's one Tua hit away, which we know Tua can get injured. From Quinn Ewers slinging the rock to Tyreek Hill and slinging the rock to Jaylen Waddle. Once again, I'm not the biggest Quinn Ewers guy at all, like especially not a first or second round guy. But in the seventh round, that is insane to me. I mean, I think that's good value just for a guy that clearly, I mean, Quinn Ewers almost became the highest rated recruit of all time to go undrafted. I think his skill set about how he is just trying to launch that ball deep and he throws a looping deep ball. I mean, I don't. And now again, the offensive line's terrible and Quinn Ewers has the pocket awareness of a little leaguer,
A
but
goldfish.
yeah, a goldfish.
I pulled up Tua's games that he's played season by season. The most games, he's only played one full year, and that was 2023. Last year, he played in 11 games, so that would be six games that would potentially be Ewers. And then 2022, 13, 21, 13, and 2020, 10 games. So he's definitely prone to missing some games. Hopefully that doesn't happen for his sake. I mean, concussions are terrible. Definitely don't want to wish injury upon anyone, but there's definitely, like you said, Cole, an avenue for Quinn Ewers to start here pretty early.
Quinn Ewers with we'll say Quinn Ewers with an all-time bag fumble here, lost millions of dollars in NIL and went seventh round.
Yep, I agree with that one. This was our consensus number one tight end, but ended up being the second one off the board, Tyler Warren, 6'6", 256. Kind of a do-it-all player. He played a little running back, played a little wide out, played a little tight end. Great blocker. People saying that he's supposed to be better than Brock Bowers. They're lying to you. Don't listen to them. Brock Bowers is a freak of nature. Tyler Warren's a freak of nature in a different sense. He is more of that classic tight end. And I like this Greg Olsen comp here. Just big, tall, solid, strong. I think this is a good pick here.
Yeah, good pick by Indy. The quarterback situation is still kind of up in the air with Anthony Richardson struggling since he's gotten drafted, and then they bring in Daniel Jones, I think. So, if you want to talk about a mid quarterback room, look at the Indianapolis Colts. But tight end is always one of the best positions for quarterbacks. They're safety blankets, so I think Tyler Warren will help out Anthony Richardson a lot in the Colts offense this year.
I just have one thing to say about this draft. Shout out to Justin Wally. He put in work for my Minnesota Dynasty in College Football 25. So I'm going to be rooting for you, buddy. Go get him.
Thanks for that tidbit, Cole. Really appreciate that. All right. Now we're going to move on to the hometown Atlanta Falcons. As you know, we made a big splash trading back up to number 26 to get James Pierce to pair along with Jalen Walker. So we're going to go ahead and talk about both of those guys here really quick. Like it says right here, hybrid front seven defender, upside at linebacker and edge. I think we all think he's going to be a fantastic player. He's the true vocal leader of the entire Georgia team last year. 6'1", 243. I think he's definitely going to see some action in the off-ball linebacker as well as being that traditional edge defender pass rusher. He's got insane juice to get off the pass rusher. Just ask this guy right here, Kelvin Banks. I think he's going to be such an awesome player, and I'm so excited to watch him in the red and black again. And then kind of go down here to James Pierce. James Pierce is going to allow Jalen Walker to get some more snaps overall in the defense, playing off ball, paired up with Caden Ellis. And then James Pierce is going to be paired up with a number of edges that we have. We went from being completely edge deficient to having possibly too many to play at the same time, which is typical Falcons. We gave up our first round pick next year, just kind of banking on that being a late first round pick. And then we traded up from pick 46. So we gave away pick 46 and then a first round pick next year to come up to 26 to get James Pierce. And we also got a third round pick this year from the Rams, who we used to select Xavier Watts, who I think is a huge sleeper in this draft. This is the first time, at least under this general manager coaching administration combo, I think the Falcons absolutely cooked here. James Pierce is going to be a freak off the edge with that sub 4.5 here and a 4.47. He brings the juice, can improve as a run defender, and he's a little bit slender. Probably going to have to put on 10, 15 pounds, but nothing too crazy at all.
Harry Fontenot, you beautiful bald-headed man. Oh my, I have not been this more excited about a draft class since the Falcons took Julio Jones. Harry Fontenot absolutely made a master class in this draft, only having five picks. First Jalen Walker, just I was shocked to see him fall all the way to the Falcons at 15. I was so nervous that the Falcons were going to do their typical falconing and pass up on another Georgia stud defensive player, but Terry Fontenot, I am so sorry. I was not familiar with your game. I was jumping up and down. I was so damn excited about this pick. Just feels an immediate need that this team has been suffering for as long as I've been alive. So I love Jalen Walker pick. James Pierce also just gonna be an absolute stud for us. Definitely gonna be that typical edge rusher that, again, that we have been missing since John Abraham. It's gonna be crazy to see him and working alongside Leonard Floyd, who I think who's gonna have a big season too, especially with all the draft help that we got in this year's draft. My sleeper pick is definitely Xavier Watts. All I needed to see was that Georgia playoff game to know that that man was a stud, and I am surprised to see him fall that low. Billy Bowman, also another good sleeper pick, who I think is going to play nickel corner. And then we drafted the offensive tackle from Wisconsin, who I think essentially he's going to be the Cale McGarry replacement here in a few years. I could be a better pass blocker than Cale McGarry, so I think he's going to be a beast. And then just go a little bit off topic, our undrafted free agency was absolutely amazing. Nick Nash, the Triple Crown winner from last year, I am so surprised that he fell that low, or didn't even get drafted. So I'm really good with that. And then Kobe Bryant, who I was begging for the Falcons to get, and we somehow got him in an undrafted free agency. So I could not give Terry Fontenot more props for absolutely cooking with five picks this year. I've never been more excited in a draft class in my life. So props to you, Terry Fontenot, you beautiful bald-headed man.
Yeah, I'm not gonna add too much here because we do got to get moving. But the only thing that I would say is giving up your first round pick to get to trade back in to get James Pierce. I just can't get behind that right now. I could be wrong, but I do love the Jalen Walker pick, and I love the two safety, the back to back, the Xavier Watts and the Billy Bowman. I think those are two very underrated safeties. So,
My only rebuttal to that is it was kind of a selfish pick or trade for Terry. If we don't hit this year as a team and make a deep run, he's not going to have a job. So he's not going to be making a first round pick next year, regardless.
true.
Gotta hit. And I think we did just that. All right, let's move on here to Walter Nolan, someone that we're familiar with, going to Ole Miss. He kind of ate us up for a couple years being Georgia fans. Ole Miss had a lot of good players. And a lot of good players got drafted pretty early in this draft. Walter Nolan being the best and the highest drafted. He definitely brings some juice from the interior defensive line in terms of pass rush. I think this pro comp of Ed Oliver is spot on. Good job, Matt Miller. But don't have too much to add on that. He's going to be probably a great pro.
Solid pick by Arizona. They needed to beef up their defensive line, which I think is their one of their biggest weaknesses. So, solid pick by Arizona.
No, yep, same here, nothing to add. I just will say that Walter Nolan and Will Johnson right there, those first two, those are two guys that I think if you get either one of those guys at 16, you're happy, but to get both of them, it just hinges on Will Johnson being healthy.
Cody
All
Simon
right.
sleeper pick for Arizona too.
Shamar Stewart from Texas A&M, another big-bodied edge defender. I think it's a really good pick here. He was projected right around this range, but the one question I have is this a Trey Hendrickson replacement or a Trey Hendrickson addition to have him rush on the other side opposite of him? I think they might end up having to trade Trey Hendrickson.
I think that this is pretty much the Trey Hendrickson replacement. So to be honest with you, I think the Rams are going to trade the first that we traded for Trey Hendrickson. So I think this is going to be his replacement.
The Shamar Stewart pick is pure projectability. He had 4.5 sacks in 3 seasons, and as a Georgia fan, I'm not, again, I do not just say sacks is everything because we obviously have players that don't get a lot of sacks. But I mean, I think that this is definitely a big swing, and I think this is boom or bust because, again, you got a guy that has all the athletic tools in the world but hasn't produced, so we're going to see about it.
Yep. It's a
Shout out
big pick
Dylan
indeed.
Fairchild too.
Yeah, Dylan Fairchild in the was a third round pick, I
Third.
think. It's a
Yeah.
good pick. Gray Zabel, North Dakota State guard. I think they might have him play tackle, but he played tackle at North Dakota State. He's projected as a guard, but I couldn't name you another Seattle Seahawks offensive lineman, so I'm just gonna leave it at that. Pro comp Elgton Jenkins. He was pretty much a consensus first round pick. And we didn't really know who Seattle was going to take in our mock drafts. So we draft mock drafted them a another tackle, Josh Simmons from Ohio State. I think this could be a good pick. He said he wanted to go pound some Bush lattes after his phone call. He had a 12-hour rule. Enjoy it for 12 hours.
Yeah, I mean, boring pick, but Seattle needed some desperate help on offensive line, so good pick here.
Yep. Jalen Milroe, third round, though. Very interesting. I don't know how that's going
Another quarterback
to
before Shadoo-Doo.
work out.
All right, Emeka Ebuka going to the division rival Tampa Bay Bucks. I like this pick for them, but they have like six or seven receivers. I don't necessarily know why they took a receiver here. I like Ebuka as a prospect. Seems like just a super awesome dude. Not overly fast or overly big at all, just kind of a well-rounded receiver. The Falcons are going to have some trouble covering him because we have like three or four corners and safeties that'll be good, and the Buccaneers have like 17 receivers on their roster.
Yeah, I was surprised with this pick. I thought Tampa would go with some sort of defense, but it's just another issue that the Falcons are going to solve on Tampa's offense. So, weird pick for Tampa, but I don't really hate it that much. Just a little bit surprised.
Yep, same here. Great player, Mecca Buka, but I just don't think this is a spot for receiver here. I mean, Jahdae Barron was on the board. Jihad Campbell was still on the board. They need defensive
Malachi
help.
Starks.
Yeah, Malachi Starks. There are a lot of players available that I think could have helped them a lot more on their defensive side. Because, yeah, so that's my only concern with that pick.
Jahdae Barron going to play alongside Pat Surtain and the great white hope Riley Moss. I hope this is not a Riley Moss replacement pick, just an addition. Probably going to be a slot corner, I would have to think. Pro comp Cooper DeJean, there's one thing that doesn't add up there. You can't compare anyone to Cooper DeJean unless it's Riley Moss or maybe a Dan Jackson of sorts.
Yeah, good, again, solid pick by Denver. I think their defense is going to be loaded next year, so this only helps them with they got Dre Greenlaw and Hufanga from San Fran, so it's definitely going to boost up their defense a lot. So good pick by Denver.
I think if you swap these picks, the Buccaneers got Barron and then Emeka Buka goes to the Broncos, I'm a lot more like, wow, both these teams, great job. But seemingly they both flipped, and I mean, I'm never going to complain about getting another elite corner if he becomes that opposite of Pat Surtain. So, yeah.
All right, Coleman, this one's on you.
I mean, I pretty much, I didn't call it. I will say I did not call it. But I basically said there's a great chance that we pick a lineman that I've never heard of, and that's exactly what we did. This is the most Steelers pick of all time. And I'm not even going to pretend like I know a lot about Derek Harmon, but I don't. But once again, I'm happy that we didn't reach for a quarterback here, because once again, I said, hey, if we just tank next year, you know, maybe we get another quarterback, but we're never going to tank, so... Caleb Johnson in the third round, love that. And then even Jack Sawyer in the fourth round, former number one overall recruit, get him in the fourth round, like that. And then Will Howard in the sixth. I love that value for Will Howard. And again, I'm not saying that this guy's going to even become our starter one day or even become like – it's just a good shot to take on a guy, especially this upcoming year with our quarterback situation not very known. And I do think that he has the tools that he could at least develop into maybe a decent starter one day. So love that. And overall, I mean, I don't have too many gripes, to be honest. So yeah, I mean, I don't got much other than that. So again, props to Omar Khan, not reaching on a quarterback. Last time we reached on a quarterback, we all know how that went, but I think we got some good value on some later round guys.
Get ready to learn Cole's cash, buddy.
All right, Amarion Hampton going to the L.A. Chargers. Going to add an extra dynamic to their offense that features your boy Ladd McConkey and Justin Herbert. I really like this pick. It's a great, great back. Fast, great blend of power and speed. He's going to be probably, if I had to guess, their number one guy. And then Najee Harris being that just brute force power guy since they got him from the Steelers. I like this comp here of Breece Hall, very similar player, super explosive athlete. I think this is a good one.
Yeah, I agree with you, Jacob. Good pick. I honestly forgot that the Chargers got Najee Harris, so I think this would be a good solid 1-2 punch for the Chargers to help complement Justin Herbert, add a new dynamic to the running game to take some of it off his shoulders in offense.
Yeah, I don't necessarily know if I love running back here for them. I know Luther Burden was available at this pick. I think receiver, once again, very big need. I can't remember. What did we mock them to get? I can't even. I think
Luther Burden.
Luther Burden.
We did? Okay, yeah. I don't want to get picky and say, like, terrible pick, but I just think receiver would probably be a better spot there for them. Once again, armchair GM. But, yeah. But they ended up getting Trey Harris in the second round. Who I like, yeah.
Yeah, I was going to say they went Trey Harris in the second round, so he's going to be a good one for sure. Great pairing for Mr. McConkey, for Mr. Herbert. All right, Matthew Golden, speaking of receiver, I wouldn't have minded seeing Matthew Golden go here as well. But Green Bay finally did it. First round receiver for the first time in, what is it, 20 something years. 4.29 at the 40. Super fast. Not really big or a super polished route runner. But I mean, he's got the juice, definitely. He'll be able to take the top off your defense. He was probably the best pure deep threat in the draft. I think this is a solid pick here for Jordan Love. Their receiver room is painfully mid. And I think this helps it a lot. They have a couple different body types in there. Christian Watson being a big guy who can go get the ball and also super fast. If he can actually stay healthy and pan out, I think Matthew Golden would be a good pick for them.
Yeah, very good pick. Finally got Jordan Love some help in the receiver room. It's so crazy to me that they haven't drafted a wide receiver in decades. So I think really good pick here by Green Bay, getting Jordan help some love.
Yes,
All
and
right,
everyone.
Donovan Jackson. What? Sorry.
No, I was gonna say everyone's gonna see Matthew Golden as the wide receiver pick, which obviously that was their first round pick. But I'm gonna tell you to keep an eye on this guy right here. Their third round pick, Savion Williams, wide receiver from TCU. This is a guy where I could see him breaking into the lineup next year because once again, that receiver room is painfully mid. He's a 6'4", 220 pounder, really good TCU receiver. Now, some people have a little negative connotation with TCU receivers with a. Old Quentin Johnston there, but I think that he right there, that was a very good value pick. And of course, Matthew Golden's a speedster, so get some playmakers.
Absolutely. I know nothing about Donovan Jackson. They won a national championship, so he's got to be pretty good.
Yeah, I don't know too much about Donovan Jackson, but good pick to help protect JJ McCarthy. So solid pick by Minnesota.
Yep, Minnesota.
Minnesota. All right, we're gonna
Minnesota.
skip these two since we already talked about them. Go ahead and skip over to our boy Malachi Starks. He's one of my favorite players I've ever watched in a Georgia uniform. Straight ball hawk, great tackler. We asked him to do a lot in 2024, so his season wasn't as productive or he didn't have as good of a season. But in reality, he was playing three positions at once. He played strong safety, free safety, and slot corner. He was one of those guys where you just stick him on a guy like Luther Burden, who was giving us trouble, and just eliminated him for the entire game playing a slot receiver. I think this is a slam dunk home run pick, whatever you want to call it. Pairing him with Kyle Hamilton is automatically the nastiest safety duo in the league. Super productive, very athletic, and just some of the best ball skills I've ever seen.
Malachi is definitely a damn good dog. Definitely gonna miss him this year, but like what you said, Jacob, him and Kyle Hamilton are gonna be two of the most disgusting safety duos in the NFL. Ravens definitely hit a steal here with Malachi and definitely made their defense so much better, especially in the secondary where they needed help. So very, very good pick by Baltimore.
Yeah, I get it. This was my least favorite pick of the first round, just simply because now we have to throw the ball against Kyle Hamilton and Malachi Starks with Mason Rudolph. So yeah, great, love it. And yeah, the Ravens picked a kicker in the sixth round. Wonder why they would do that. Interesting.
Interesting.
Mike Green though in the second round, another great value there. So, yep.
Yeah, Mike Green in the second round is great value pick. Tyleek Williams, he'll be a nose tackle, 6'3", 334, national champion from Ohio State. Very productive, 5.5 sacks over the past 2 seasons. That's productive for a defensive tackle. 100 total tackles is a ton. Just kind of a big ugly, just thrust it in there for the Detroit Lions. They had one of my favorite drafts. They took three Bulldogs, including Tate Ratledge in the second. That mullet is going to do wonders for Dan Campbell. And he has a giant lion tattoo already on his forearm. Love that pick. They picked up Dirty Dan Jackson in the seventh round. Absolute ball hawk and probably the last true walk-on that we will ever have drafted in this new era of NIL and a hard cap 105 and no walk-ons. Dan Jackson started at Georgia as a regular student. Went to walk-on tryouts one day and caught the eye of Kirby Smart. Runs sub 4'4", 6'1", 190, 195 pounds. Dan Jackson was the steal of the draft for someone like me, from my perspective, in the 7th round. And then they also followed that up by taking Dominic Lovett. I think he's going to have some good production in the slot for them. You can kind of move him all around. Wasn't super flashy at Georgia, but kind of just like a consistent, like he was always going to get you like 4 catches and 60 yards.
I would definitely say, other than the Falcons, the Lions had one of my favorite drafts this year. I'm gonna be real biased, but Tate Ratledge, Dan Jackson, Dominic Lovett. I think Detroit really did a solid job here. As with Tyleek Williams, definitely do think that Detroit needed help on their defensive line. So I don't really know too much about Tyleek Williams. But good pick. But I wanted to add, Brad Holmes in one of his press conferences basically said that Georgia practices are anything that he has never seen before from a college program. So Kirby, if I were you, I would take that and post it all over the facility for recruits. So shout out to Brad Holmes.
Not much to add here. Love Dirty Dan going here. I mean, him and Dan Campbell, I want to be a fly on the wall in that room with them two talking ball. That's all I gotta say.
Couple of Dirty Dans.
Motor City
All
Dan
right.
Jackson.
Josh Connerly Jr., big offensive tackle from Oregon, pro comp Broderick Jones, funny Georgia Bulldog. Don't know too much about him. Coached by Dan Lanning. Have a lot of respect for Oregon as a program. I think they're cut from a similar cloth to us. That's really it.
Again, boring pick. I mean, offensive tackle, but definitely good pick here by the Commanders. Definitely want to protect Jaden Daniels. Especially against the Eagles in the NFC Championship, he was getting blitzed pretty much all game, and they had no answer for that insane def or Eagles defensive line. So I think solid pick here by Washington.
Not too much to add here. Once a big ugly. Trey Amos in the 2nd round. Like that play. But yeah.
I like this pick by the Buffalo Bills here, Maxwell Harrison. This was actually one of the only late round picks that we mocked correctly, both team and draft position. Fastest 40-yard dash in the combine, had a more productive second year at Kentucky as opposed to last year. He's going to have to cover guys like Xavier Worthy, who have been known to take the top off and provide the Bills some issues. I think that's almost strictly why they drafted him. As well as Kyir Elam being kind of a bust so far, so trying to make up with what they lost on that pick.
I guess you could say this is another one of those picks by, or you could say another team is making a pick based off of like a combine warrior. I guess you could say, with Maxwell Harrison running the fastest 40-yard dash, and the Chiefs did it last year with Xavier Worthy. So I don't know. Normally, sometimes these guys don't really pan out as much. Kevin White is the huge, huge one, and then John Ross from Washington. So, but I think Maxwell Harrison's real, real solid corner. Definitely going to help the Bills in their corner room, which is very, very lackluster. So, solid pick here.
I just have reservations about corners who aren't very highly sought after going into the combine, then they run fast and then all of a sudden they're first round picks. I'm not saying Maxwell Harrison's bad or anything, but I just think that we can kind of get a little too, oh, that corner's fast, so he's going to guard the fast guys good, right? I just don't know. And once again, Will Johnson here, the Will John his medicals just must be terrible for him to fall this far, because I just think Will Johnson's better than Maxwell Harrison. I don't think that's a hot take, but yeah, it's just injuries, so.
Yeah, Will Johnson's injury history was slightly concerning. He had some the procedure that he had in his knee was just like super rare and doesn't happen very often. So it's not like he just tore an ACL and he's just going to be fine. It had something to do with taking bone grafts and all this kind of stuff. I think that's why he fell so far to the He was the Cardinals, I do believe, in the second. And we can move on here to Jihad Campbell. I think this is a great pick, though. Pretty big steal here. Also pairing him with Smile Mundon in the fourth round, linebacker from Georgia. They just keep reloading in that linebacker room. I mean, they have so many dogs, so many Crimson Tiders. They're really just taking blue chip college guys every chance that they can get. I think they cook in the draft almost every single year. Howie Roseman, probably the best GM in the league. That's really all I got to say about that. This guy's going to have a similar role as Jalen Walker. Can play off ball, can play edge. Just kind of do a little bit of everything.
Yeah, steal here by the Eagles. You know, each year it seems like the Eagles are adding more and more Infinity Stones with their into their gauntlet with more Georgia players and more Alabama players taken in their drafts every year. So, again, another steal. Eagles defense is going to be absolutely nasty next year, even with all the losses that they had in the offseason. But steal of a pick here by Philadelphia.
Yeah, this was a guy where I said he could. I mean, I thought the Buccaneers would have been good grabbing this guy at 16 for him to fall to 31. Good pick by the Eagles.
And last but not least, Josh Simmons, tackle from Ohio State. He's someone that we had mocked in the top 20. So this is definitely a good pick for KC. I'm sure they're very glad that they fell to him, or he fell to them. And I also forgot to mention that they swap picks from with Philly. So Philly had to give up a fifth or a sixth, I believe, to move up from 32 to 31. But I guess they must have thought that the Chiefs were going to take Jihad Campbell. Even though it seems like a glaring need on the Chiefs was the offensive line, considering they just got destroyed by the Eagles in the Super Bowl. I bet they're very happy that he fell to them at pick 32.
Yeah, you know, another, yes, quote unquote, boring pick, but it's definitely the right pick. Got to protect Patrick Mahomes. Last year, the Chiefs' offensive line got destroyed by the Eagles, like what Jacob said. So, again, really, I guess you could say, real boring pick here, but you know, got to protect your franchise guy, Patrick Mahomes.
So I think the one big thing we can learn from this episode is that if a team picks an offensive lineman, it's a boring pick. Every single time, apparently. So
Not actually. I mean, they draft on team needs. We don't sit there and watch football and watch how the left tackle performs on every play. I
exactly.
like watching the quarterback and the receivers where the ball goes, you know.
Yeah. No, I mean, we've just went through everything. It seems to be the first round. So in closing, boys, so who what team would you say, just overall top to bottom, would you say that their draft like you like the most? Not Falcons withstanding, of course, because we know Falcons had the greatest draft of all time.
I'm gonna say the Detroit Lions.
Yeah.
I like Georgia players. And they got good value for both Dom and Dan Jackson. I was surprised that Dan Jackson got drafted, but when you look at it, he should have absolutely gotten drafted. Super productive, big, tall, fast, strong, hard hitter. Tate Ratledge, steal in the second round. He's gonna be able to play anywhere. He played mainly guard for us, but he can bump out to tackle if injuries or anything like that happens. Dom Lovett, steal late in the draft. He ran a 4.4 at the combine. Didn't even know he was that fast because seems like he never got loose at Georgia. But they got guys with all the intangibles there. So I'm gonna go ahead and say Detroit Lions.
I have two. I liked Detroit, obviously. I'm gonna piggyback off you, Jacob, and I'm gonna say real sneaky draft, I'm gonna go Arizona Cardinals. I really liked a few of their picks, you know, with Walter Nolan, Will Johnson, and then I'm a really big fan of Cody Simon, the linebacker from Ohio State, so I definitely think they improved their defense a ton. And one of my hotter takes is I think Arizona is going to challenge for winning their division this year.
For me, I think that if you're talking about giving your young quarterback help on the O-line and giving them help with skill position players, if that was your biggest thing coming into the draft, then I think the Patriots nailed it. Once again, getting Will Campbell, getting guys like Travion Henderson, Kyle Williams, and Jared Wilson, they're going to shore up that offensive line. I think these guys in the receiver room are going to really help them just in terms of just more playmakers, because they really do need that.
Yeah, the Patriots might have the best 1 year turnaround from last year to this year, I think.
Yeah, they had a really good draft this year,
And
definitely.
free agency too.
Yeah, I keep forgetting that they signed Stephon Diggs, but I mean the player himself is still remains to be seen. But you know, good for Drake May getting some help.
Yep.
Well, with that, I think that's going to go ahead and do it for us. Draft season is over. Now we look forward to training camp and rookie minicamp. Can't wait for all the reports of, is this player a bust already after the first day of OTAs? Can't wait for that. But
Shador late on first day of rookie
yeah, exactly.
minicamp.
Yeah, I can't wait for that
Some
discourse.
star player gets punched in the face in training camp scuffle.
Exactly. Well, that's going to do it for us, boys.